DUII or whether the charge is more serious than that, that defendant, that driver who caused the injury, as long as that person is the subject of prosecution, it's going to be impossible or very, very difficult to get for the injured party or that injured party's attorney to get the police reports, because the DA's office and the police agencies generally, as a matter of policy, will not release any of the information or any of the reports while the prosecution is still pending. The plaintiff, the injured party, was not present in the establishment, again, many more times than not, probably doesn't even know where that establishment was, doesn't know who was serving. I guess what I'm trying to say is that for the injured party, they've got a very, at least my impression and my sense is, they have a very, very, very tough time in terms of establishing the elements of their case and proving that by preponderance of the evidence even now. And I think the language in the House bill as presented makes it almost impossible, given the circumstances and the additional language here, in terms of requiring plaintiff to prove what just is impossible to prove based on where they're at in the circumstances that would give rise to this kind of action.
Paul, do you want to go ahead and explain what you have in mind on your amendment, why you're proposing that change?
Oh, certainly. The issue, when we first wrote Section 15, I think notification is extremely important, very important, as a matter of fact. And the issue of a police agency notifying the liquor agency or liquor provider, social health, first came up. And then it was brought to our attention that it might be more efficient and actually more effective to have the OLCC notify them, and therefore they might be able to keep a record of problem taverns if this was a reoccurring issue. It's something they might want to investigate, and they might be able to do a better job at the notification issue too. And it addressed some of the police agencies who were coming to me and saying, wait a second, folks, we might not want to be the notifier of all the actions going on out there, since we're not the person who licensed these activities. Now, these amendments, I must tell you, have just come up from LZ, and Max delivered them to me this evening, so I haven't had an opportunity to fly-spec them, but it was the issue of trying to get OLCC to be the individual that notified and get them involved in the loop there. And thus, Representative Springer talked about the long delays in the process, going through investigation and everything else. It's equally hard for the individual who might get mentioned in a lawsuit or specifically named in an action to go back and recreate the instance some months or even years after the fact. And this would at least let them find out who was on duty at that shift time and who the server might have been, if indeed it did occur, and help them prepare. And everybody would benefit from not having stale information. So that's the purpose, Senator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess the only thing to raise on that is we still haven't addressed with the concern that Representative Springer deals with, and that is everybody else knows about it, but if you have a victim who doesn't know where to look, I mean, that's still another problem. And I, you know, while I appreciate the issue of the notice, I just want to raise that as a concern that, at least at this time, the only one who's left out is the one who's who is a victim. I suppose you can always find out who the police think, where the person has been drinking. I'm not sure. Tell me a little more about, with these amendments, what access would I have if I were in the hospital and trying to figure out what to do about the guy who ran into me?
I'm not sure that Representative Springer and I completely agree on the the availability of information. If you were to go to the district attorney, and if under this system, if the if there was an alleged individual involved, now would go to OLCC and get that information. He illustrates
so
it.
What I would do if I were a victim, I'd have go to OLCC and find out if anybody had been turned in. Essentially, is that it?
Well, no, I would suggest that if I were a victim, the first place I would go is the district attorney's office. Find out what was going on in the case. Representative Springer presents the...
But there isn't a case yet. I mean, I'm the one who's going to bring the case.
No,
I'm still the victim in the hospital.
You would be bringing the civil action, is what you're talking about. If there was a citation or an issue up, that's a different issue. That's the action that I'm speaking of.
What about...
Well, I'm a little confused here about how this would actually, in fact, work then. Assuming that Joyce Cohen is innocently driving along, some drunk guy runs a red light, cracks up my car, ruins my car, puts me in the hospital for 6 months, and I say, I finally wake up and my family or somebody, my mother comes from South Dakota, she contacts Dick Springer and said, you know, Joyce, you know, this guy ran into her, and don't you think we ought to do something about this? This is 3 or 4 months past, because I'm finally out of the... You know, among the living, they're kind of looking at that now. So what happens? I mean, do I or my lawyer go to the OLCC to find out who, you know, we probably know who hit me, but we don't know where he's been drinking or she's been drinking, because that...
Probably not until you see the police reports, and not all the police reports would necessarily make that kind of inquiry. Some may. I've discussed this. I've read hundreds of police reports, and on many of the interview forms that are conducted on a DUI, mm-hmm. perhaps for the other more serious charges that might arise from this kind of incident, the officers, I'm sure it varies from officer to officer depending on the circumstances and just how much other work they have to do in connection with trying to clean up after an accident. But I think many times, if not most times, they will try to identify who that person has been drinking. And then the degree of follow-up will vary, I think. We've had some testimony that OLCC is beginning routinely to try to follow up on these reports. They get copies of the police reports, but as long as the case is still pending in criminal court, I don't think that, at least my experience in trying to get police reports from the Portland police to the district attorney's office, is that they won't release those until the prosecution has been completed.
If anything, Senator, this will improve a situation now, because if we don't change the law at all, there won't be that loop of notification at all. So if anything...
Yeah. So I can go to OLCC then, generally. And that's better than rolling around and trying to find my own tavern of the 50 taverns within 100 miles. I mean, I suppose that's better.
I think that
was the whole...
Yeah.
Well, I think we generally... Yeah. Agree on the intent, but I, Representative Phillips, I wonder if you would, I don't know if it states here, I haven't read this word for word, but do we provide specifically that OLCC is authorized to release that information to the injured party or their representative?
No. I mean, Dick, I just received these, so I haven't had a chance to look at this, but no.
Yeah.
But
that
wouldn't
present any problem, would it, do you think?
Not with me. It
would,
and I think they ought to be releasable to the certainly to the licensee as well. I think, you know, everyone ought to have access to that information.
Why shouldn't there be a form provided that goes not only to the alleged purveyor of the booze, but all of the victims, and to make sure that their attention is adequately attracted to the severity of this notice? Because if they're like most people and they get some kind of legal notice, especially from the police department, they get all discombobulated and kind of like a summons. You know, when you get a summons served on you, people get very nervous. So I suggest we put on the notice the same thing that we put on the summons, and that is, if you have any questions, see a lawyer immediately.
Well,
I don't think Paul's sign up. We could put the 1-800 number in our referral.
Is this now time for the heavy side or 500 pieces?
Another slice of pizza.
I was doing better when I was back there. You know that?
All right. Well, we'll take a look at.
Maybe Eric could draft up some language with the notification or release of information upon request or something along those lines.
Yeah. I think
that. Excluding the bar referral.
I'm not presuming to speak for the majority of this committee by any means, but I get the feeling that the language on line 20, well, I get the feeling, let's put it this way, that in the following order, that there's some real question of whether we should adopt this, beginning with sub 1, which is... I sense is the most unacceptable. Sub 2 is the next most unacceptable, and sub 3 is kind of, you know, to some it's okay and to some other it's not, and there's some in the middle. And I just kind of perceive that feeling among the various members on the other parts.
From my standpoint.
Yeah.
This section's very dear, Representative Phillips.
Yeah, I... Of course, this is a total package where everything will be taken into consideration, but it is not only very dear to me, it's very dear to 28 other members of my caucus that feel, at least 27 other members of my caucus. There is one who sat on the committee that's willing to go along with whatever we do that wasn't quite as strong as the rest of us.
Well, I know. I think that I would share the sentiments of your caucus in that I think the liquor liability issue is one of the more difficult ones we've had to deal with, and certainly those people are in a tough spot. There's no question about it, and so I guess you have to decide as a matter of policy which way to go on it. Well, we'll leave that for a moment, and let's take a look at page 17. And I assume we have agreement that the D version. Probably on that, don't we? That's my guess. I assume that. Make a note of that. And we'll have agreement on the D and gross section 25. Well, because that's the same as C. My sense is we have no agreement on page 19. So start off that way anyway.
For those of you who may be trying to follow along with the bill, that's section 26 of the D engrossed bill.
And we touched on that briefly yesterday, but I know Senator Cohen's got a special concern about that, and I wanted her here before we discuss it further. Pretty far-reaching.
And not liking that at all. I think it does open it up to all sorts of. Way beyond where we ought to be with it, and I don't know. I understand there's some people who want to talk about some amendments, but I don't know whether you've seen them or any other members of the committee have seen them.
I haven't seen any amendments, but. What is the problem? What would this address in terms of? Is it a frivolous suit kind of a? Is that the kind of the main purpose of it? To guard against frivolous suits, or what is the intent, Paul?
Not necessarily the issue of being frivolous or not, but the information and evidence process. We tried to put in the issue of notification and have it in writing and put a time limit on it. This was an issue that some members of our committee were quite versed on and felt strongly about.
This, as I read this thing now, would give the defense counsel unlimited authority to take the depositions of all the plaintiff's treating physicians going back to the year one or whatever cause or condition.
Provided there's 10 days notice.
Well, not their senator is the requirement, of course, of the written notice in that process, and it's, we put it on record because that issue came up, I believe, raised by Representative Hanlon about searching through archives, that this would be related to the issue at hand, so we didn't want to...
Okay, where's that now? Where would I find that and hear that it's limited?
Well, that's a matter of, not unlike you reading into the record the definition of malice, Representative Dix and I stating the purpose and intent of our amendments.
Yeah. But it doesn't limit it, though, does it, to the claimed injuries or...
Well, Senator, I'd be, if you were suggesting that you would support it, if we dealt specifically with that, I'd be more than willing to entertain language to that effect.
Well, just about anything would improve this section.
Yeah.
Like going to 10%.
You got the votes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, it says, I'm looking at line 30 there, the defense counsel gives 10 days notice, and he can, as long as the doctor's willing, he can slip into the doctor's office by himself and interview the doctor, correct?
Well, of course, he gives notice to the plaintiff's counsel, and in fact, if you read up farther on... the line that there's notification of the court and all other parties. So this is not some sneaky backdoor attempt that it might be alluded to. We're trying to have it up front, open, everybody understanding what's going on.
That brings us to where we were this morning? No. I think it is. Didn't we start off on page 20 this morning?
Well, we started off on 22, I think.
Well, all right. We've got the pages 20. Page 20 is the same in both versions. I guess there's no problem in that.
Well, okay.
Yes. Joyce, is there a problem in that?
No, that's fine. I'm just reading the new language of section 30. That's okay.
Yeah, okay. And we are working, of course, in terms of the effective dates. That'll be coming up when we get to that point at the end.
You know, could I ask a question about that section 29?
Yes, indeed.
We adopted the language, you know, that... were the same, and I, what happens with local trial court administrators? I'm thinking in Washington County or something along those lines. Would the evidence and material that they put together be public information, or would it be forwarded to the state court administrator so that his for his documentation? Maybe I'm just not reading it correctly, but did we specifically handle that sort of, because not everything goes directly to the state court administrator. There is a loop
right.
in that process.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I believe in sub 7 it says, suggests that Mr. Linden or whoever the state court administrator is can adopt whatever procedures necessary to implement this section. So I think that that would be an administrative decision on his part in order to implement with his local court administrators in each of the counties. That well, work directly for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm not disagreeing with you, Representative Dix, but I'm not sure that there, by administrative rule, could adopt rules that may statutorily not be provided for. And if we leave it unsaid, maybe there was debate in the Senate that talked about it.
Now, we discussed this quite a little bit.
Well, we had a lot of discussion about it, and we talked about not releasing the, you know, the specific information, keeping all that confidential, but the fact that when we explicitly provided that in line, really it talks about it, you should start in line 20 and go down to 26, which says, you know, the summary shall not contain information that identifies a specific case or party to the case. We went pretty clearly through that to make sure that we weren't going to have release of specific information.
Well, Senator Cohen,
that would be really compiled, and that we're not going to have that released anywhere along the way. Eric.
Excuse me. On line 27, we specifically provide that the statements are confidential. The summaries are public records. The statements are confidential. What we said was shall not be released by the state court administrator. I suppose we could put or trial court administrator.
See, that was the phrase that, when I went through this, it kind of sparked my mind about the other people that are involved in the system.
Well, I wouldn't have any problem clarifying it, but I think for the record, the state court administrator supervises the county court administrators. And I believe, although they report, or there's a, my understanding is they report not only to a judge locally, but they also report to the state court administrator. And so I just assumed it meant that since they work for him, they are a branch of the state court administrator's office. They don't work for the county.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate where you're coming from, and I thought that was the case, but I wanted to get it clearly stated and perhaps put in, you know, shall not be released by the state court administrator or the trial court administrator, and then we take care of it. And that way there's no...
I don't have a problem with that. I think it's important information that we... I'm pleased you left in.
I don't think the title is trial court administrator. I think there's a... I think they're county court administrators.
Well...
Aren't they?
No.
Or other court administrators. You know, I mean, what I'm getting
at
is somebody
the right language
in the loop doesn't inadvertently get left off in the information flow.
You may say local. I don't know what the word is, whether it's trial or local.
I'll get the words.
Yeah, we'll fix that up. That's a good point.
Thanks.
Anybody have any problems with 8 o'clock in the morning?
Well, just delaying it pretty much.
Well, I was intending to go quite late tonight, but I have been indicated to me that people would rather come back early and not stay up too late. Now, I'm perfectly willing to sit right here and plow through this, but I think folks were concerned about the fact that we've gone so long, and I was asked to consider not going so doggone late and starting early, but you tell me what you want to do.
Well, can we at least discuss the major areas of disagreement that we've isolated and gone to, and probably the same ones we were at before?
Yeah, I think that we've...
But have we narrowed down things to whether that we're going to be meaningful time between now and then?
Yes, I think...
Or not?
I think we've done that myself. I think we've got a pretty good idea, all of us, what the real key differences are and kind of the priorities. And I could be mistaken, but I kind of get the drift, I think, of where folks are.
I think you're right.
And, I'm at your beck and call here. I know that Representative Springer is going to go to Portland tonight. I don't know who else has to go places, but...
I'm going to get an agenda tonight.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I sense that I don't think we're going to be ending the session tomorrow or even the next day.
I get that impression, yes.
And I would feel we've just gotten some of the amendments tonight. I think we have pretty clearly identified just what the issues are going to be. I would feel a little better if we were to return to this subject tomorrow morning and just start voting up or down. And I think it's perfectly reasonable to expect we could finish most of our work, if not all of it, tomorrow.
Well, I'm very optimistic that we can do that tomorrow.
As long as, what do we have? Who's got what in the morning? What time
we don't
have
a floor session until 10, see? So that's going to give us
9:30.
What's your schedule tomorrow morning?
I think our floor session is 9:30.
Nothing will happen until 10.
Nothing will happen until 10.
So there you go, see? We've got...
Well, if we could get, I suppose that's 2 straight hours.
A couple of good hours there.
I don't know.
Senator?
Yes, Paul.
I guess we all vaguely have some ideas in our mind what we've agreed to and what we haven't agreed to. It might help if staff could go through and just, on one page sheet, The insurance stuff, I think we've all, with maybe a few minor adjustments, signed off on, and now go through some of the things that we have agreed to on the tort, and I'll just cite the nonprofits, and of course the product liability is two totally agreed upon issues.
The prison amendment?
So that we have a working document to go off of in the morning, if that's not unreasonable.
Mr. Chairman, yes. The thing we need to look out for is the conference committee on Senate Bill 681 that you and Representative Phillips are involved in. That'll be at 10:45.
Oh, do we have that? 10:45.
Yes, don't then. Where's I don't that? Know how long it'll take.
Where so
that?
Here?
Where?
Yeah.
That's in 343. The issue, and that's real simple.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just one other item. There is a difference on Section 151, and I'm sure that those, Senator Cohen and I, will reach some agreement in this conference committee, that if there is one more attempt in another committee to subvert this process, on the House side, the Speaker is prepared to shut this conference committee down. Now, this issue will be resolved in this conference committee, and whether it's Ways or Means or some other committee, this is the second time that happened Saturday in a Senate bill. And I've absolutely had it. I don't have any problem working through the process in this committee, but specifically putting in Senate Bill 323, Sections 151 shall be void if this bill passes is frankly a little insulting. And it is to my caucus, regardless of where they're at on this issue, as far as the process. So whoever out there is responsible for that, I feel a little like the Godfather in his final speech when he has one son left and he suggests that if a bolt of lightning hits him, he's still going to be upset. I don't care who's responsible next time. I mean, it's twice, and the third time, it's just absolutely insulting, I think, to the legislative process and the members of the committee. I think we'll work out our differences in this conference committee, and I look forward to doing that. But to have that done in another committee it was real insulting to me. So.
Chair, I guess I would underscore that, particularly in light of the understanding, which I think our caucus felt it had Friday afternoon, to learn again Saturday that the same kind of effort was being made to end run the work up here, I think is an insult to all of us. And I've shared my concern with the Speaker, and I've gone so far as to indicate that it would be my recommendation that this conference committee take no further action until every committee, including Ways and Means, has completed its work, and if this is the last bill to come out of the legislature, to ensure that this conference committee is given the opportunity to resolve the differences, so be it.
I'm just glad that wasn't a partisan effort. Or else glad it wasn't a partisan move, or that would have really been fun.
Does that apply to elimination of third-party practice, too?
Well, if we have third party practice, it's because this committee recommends it. I wouldn't take that issue away from this committee. In fact, I think that anyone who hasn't suffered the pain, anybody who hasn't suffered the pain and anguish of going through Senate Bill 323 doesn't deserve very much input into the final work product. Well, okay, we'll be adjourned at 8:19, and can staff get out the notices that we'll need for tomorrow?
Well, I was going to suggest that you recess instead of adjourn.
What's the difference?
Then you don't have to.
No, that's fine. It is a recess.